And I always encourage students to reach out to us. Most of them don't, but for some reason, I always feel like they should, you know, whenever they're trying to find good food options, rather than just going to Yelp or just doing a Google search, come and ask.
Just go to Veer. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And see if they listen to this podcast. At least they will.
Yeah, maybe they will. Sorry.
Right? So if you listen to this right now and you're going to Vancouver and you study at KPU,
ask Veer.
Go hit up Veer and ask him for recommendations and blame him if you don't like them. Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra.
Und ich bin Elias.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die GastgeberInnen dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch dabei unterstützen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit im Ausland zu erleben. Apropos Fernweh, für die heutige Folge hatten wir Besuch aus einer meiner absoluten Lieblingsstädte in Nordamerika, aus Vancouver.
Genau, unser Gast war nämlich Veer Teja von der Kwantlen Polytechnic University, kurz KPU. Veer ist selbst vor rund 10 Jahren als internationaler Student aus Indien nach Kanada gekommen und ist an der KPU unter anderem für das sogenannte Visiting Student Program zuständig, über das Free Mover für 1 oder 2 Semester an der KPU studieren können.
Wir haben mit Veer unter anderem darüber gesprochen, warum Vancouver so ein beliebtes Ziel für internationale Studierende ist, was es mit dem Begriff Polytechnic im Hochschulnamen auf sich hat und wie die KPU ihre Visiting Students dabei unterstützt, schnell Anschluss zu finden.
Außerdem hat Veer uns und euch noch jede Menge Tipps rund um das Leben in Vancouver und mögliche Ausflugsziele gegeben. Wenn ihr euch die Folge anhört, seid ihr also auf jeden Fall perfekt auf euer Auslandssemester in Kanada vorbereitet.
Deswegen wollen wir euch auch gar nicht mehr weiter auf die Folter spannen, sondern springen direkt rein in unser Gespräch mit Veer. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören.
Hi, Veer. Thank you for coming on and joining our podcast today.
Thank you for having me. Very excited.
Yeah, it's great to see you. All right, let's get you checked in then. And let's start off with the first question. What is your role at KPU?
Sure. So I am the manager for recruitment and marketing at KPU, Kwantlen Polytechnic University. So I look after regions ranging from Africa to Southeast Asia, to Europe, to CIS. There is no connection between any of those regions. Those regions just happen to fall in my lap. So I'm still looking for a good acronym when I describe my role. But I've been working in this role for 4 years now. So I typically just help recruit international students, answer any of their questions, and really help support their transition to life in Canada. And one of those things is the visiting student portfolio. So I do help students, kind of help them get their applications processed and again, provide any information before they come to Canada.
Nice. And what do you like most about working at KPU?
I think the most important thing that I like about working at KPU is, so I was an international student myself. Funny enough, a decade ago, in August, it's going to be 10 years since I came to Canada. And one of the things that I really like is the fact that I get to help other international students who are on the same journey or path that I took all those years ago. So the fact that I get to help them really help shape their decision, really make them feel comfortable. And then once they're here, really get to see their growth is very unique. So last week we had graduation for our students and it was very exciting to see many of the students that I had been in touch with who were finally graduating. So I wouldn't categorize myself as an emotional person, but at that time it wasn't like I was crying by any means, but still I kind of felt like, wow, this job is very meaningful.
Touching occasion, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine. Yeah.
Even if I was, I wouldn't admit to it.
All right. Then the last question is, and then I think we have you checked in. What's a fun fact that people would be surprised to learn about you?
So I was born in India, I was there through high school and then a couple of years after, and I just don't like the hot and humid atmosphere. I don't know. It's funny, when I thought there were more people in my little community of people who don't like that kind of weather, but it turns out every Asian person that I meet with, they for some reason think, oh, it's so cold, I really wish it was, really was kind of like Asian. I'm like, no, you know. So when people meet me, they're very surprised that I like the gloomy weather, the doom and gloom, but the gloomy weather. So it just, it's amazing. Like a little bit of gloomy weather, you know, cloudy, nice breeze. That's my style. So I'm not one for sunshines and definitely not one for beaches.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I like mild weather myself as well, or milder temperatures, but yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Welcome to our small little community that we have. It seems like there aren't many of us out there.
I think I'm more team Southeast Asia. I really like the hot and humid.
We've got a good mix here then.
Yeah.
All right. Then let's jump in and talk a little bit more about KPU and about Vancouver as well, which is a pretty popular study destination. What do you think? What are some of the key reasons why international students choose Vancouver and KPU in particular?
Yeah. So I think, you hit the nail on the head. Vancouver is a very popular destination. And one of the reasons is it very commonly ranks in the top 10 of the cities with the highest quality of life, if not in the top 5. And I think one of the reasons is we're very close to the mountains, very close to the ocean, and it just makes for a very nice place to live. So you can find yourself literally in the middle of a concrete jungle, and then in a matter of minutes, you can be just next to the ocean, on a beach where you would not find me for sure. And then, with a flip of switch, you can find yourself in the dense forests. So I think that kind of combination makes it a very unique place for students to come and live, because, most people, for the most part, want the hustle, bustle, and the cafes, the food scene, the culture, art that comes with a big metropolis that Vancouver offers. But they also want the tranquility of being able to go to the forests and go for hikes, and just enjoy the green, essentially the green, and the peace that comes with it. So it's, I think that's what makes Vancouver very unique in that sense. And definitely we are the Great White North. So the fact that we don't get as much snow, we probably get snow 1 week out of the year, is also a good selling factor for many. We are a rainforest, so we get a lot of rain, which is, in a way, it's nice because it keeps everything nice and green. But, of course, that's not what people think when the rain comes. We are known as Raincouver, so that, which is an apt title. It does rain quite a lot. It's the temperature is relatively mild, so it really hovers between -2 degrees to 10 degrees throughout most of winter, which is still quite cold for most people. But I think especially for people from Germany, many a times they find the weather fairly similar. It rains, it's cold in the winter, but a little colder for sure than you would have in Germany. That's what makes it unique. Now, KPU in general, what makes us unique is the fact that we are in the suburbia. So, all of our campuses are anywhere between 15 to an hour away from downtown Vancouver by public transport. So they're fairly close by. So you still get that access to the main city, but you get to live in the suburbs, really enjoy, live amongst and see how majority of the people in Metro Vancouver live. So we've got 5 campuses right across. So affordability is one reason. The rents are much cheaper. Vancouver is the most expensive in Canada and one of the most in North America, just because of the reasons I outlined. Yeah. So as a result of that, the fact that we have campuses in the suburb regions really makes it relatively affordable for students. Mm-hmm. And also as a university, our tuition is much lower than what it would be if you were going to a high-ranked university. So you're still able to get access to good quality education, but you don't have to break the bank. Which is at a lower for many students.
Got it. Mm. Wow.
It's funny. So you mentioned Vancouver. I remember we recently had an episode with Alex from the University of Winnipeg, and he referred to Winnipeg as Winterpeg. So we will have one more Canadian guest on our podcast later this year. So I'm definitely going to ask her what her city is nicknamed after. So we'll see. But maybe back to you for a moment. You mentioned already that you are originally from India, mm-hmm. and that you came to Canada and more specifically even to KPU as an international student back mm-hmm. in 2013. Mm-hmm. What attracted you to Canada and to Vancouver in the first place? Did you have like a family connection like Alex mm-hmm. from Winnipeg did? Or was this pure kind of interest and passion?
Yeah, so it's a combination of both. So I did have a family connection. So
and you did want to get out of the heat. We know that
exactly. So, after I was done with my studies, I was looking for a way out and to milder climates. So typically, you know, you're looking at in the English speaking world, you got common options: Canada, Australia, US, UK. Four options. Australia, I asked myself if I wanted to fight bugs and all kinds of weird reptiles for the rest of my life. And the answer was no. And also the heat. So I Australia wasn't, you know, on my radar. But I was thinking quite seriously about UK and US and then also Canada. UK and US more so, they're fairly expensive for international students, you know, especially the US, the cost of tuition per semester could be quite high, which is why that just veered me to Canada, really, because I thought at least at the time, cost of living and the cost of getting an education was a lot more reasonable. I do think that I have a PhD in DUMB. I've done a lot of dumb things in life, but one of the things that I'm quite responsible is my parents were going to fund my education, so I wanted to make sure, you know, I get the best ROI. At the end of the day, right, it's not really my money, and I was going to do accounting. I've always been interested in numbers, so accounting and marketing. So I didn't think what would be a big difference if I went to a school that was highly ranked as compared to a school that wasn't, if both of them could help me get a job at one of the big four firms, accounting firms, which is what the dream of every accounting nerd is. And I wasn't any different. So, yeah, and that's what I learned when I started my studies at KPU. So that's how I really started looking at Canada. And then, of course, I've got family in Vancouver, which made that decision easier. And honestly, the story that I like to tell people is the first, I think it was the fourth day, so I was going to campus when I first landed. So I was taking the bus, and on the bus, I was sitting at the back in the very corner, you know, like any new shy person would, just to try avoiding all spotlight. And of course, the bus was full because it was rush hour. And then I ended up sneezing. Now, I thought, of course, I sneezed quite loud. So I thought, oh, damn, now all eyes are going to be on me. But the people around me, I heard like 5 bless yous in a matter of seconds. And I was like, what? What? And I've never heard that, you know, growing up in India. No, it's like, oh, get away from me. That. So, yeah, it was.
It must have been pre-COVID, but.
Now probably everyone's going to run away and, you know, sit at the southern bus. But yeah, it's so that was a very, very nice introduction to a very friendly Canadian vibe. And which is another reason I, you know, Canada is always known as this country that's very friendly towards towards newcomers and in general just friendly to people. And I've felt that warmth. You know, they say that you feel the warmest people in the coldest places. So that's certainly true for Canada. I've had really wonderful experiences and you know, just my time at KPU and just being in Canada, the way it's shaped me and morphed my personality has been quite remarkable. It's funny to think a decade ago, I wouldn't be imagining this is where I am at. I thought I'd be like in some accounting cubicle, you know, crunching away the numbers, but I'm glad that life took me, took a different route. And again, you know, that's just testament to what the different opportunities that are available to students here.
So just out of curiosity, what happened on your way to the big four accounting firms? Where did you kind of, what led you astray and made you pursue a career in international education?
Good question. My parents ask me that all the time. What happened? Why not accounting?
Where's the big money?
One of the things that they do in the third year, the start of third year, is you really start touring the big four firms. So they all invite you to take a tour of the office building, get a better idea of what the work is going to be like. And when I did that, I really liked the feel of working in downtown. I did not particularly like the people I was meeting with. They seemed very enthusiastic, but when they were kind of describing the work that they did on a daily basis, I don't know, I just didn't feel as connected to it. I do like numbers and I do like working with Excel and accounting softwares, but I don't know, I just did not see myself doing that for the next 5-10 years, let alone longer. And at that time, of course, I was already working at KPU. So I was already working in the second year as a student assistant, and then third year, I was already, working here full time and studying full time. So that kind of just opened my door to a field that I never thought existed, honestly. Like I thought, when I applied through an agency. So I did not really have that much of a communication with the representative because they kind of took care of everything. So I didn't know like what all of this entails, like where, how does the process work and the role that a recruiter or someone in recruitment plays. It's a bit of both. When I saw the lifestyle wasn't for me, and then on top of that, the work that I was already doing, I found it quite fun. So a mixture of both led me to make that decision. But I still finished a bachelor in accounting, so I did complete. Many were like, oh, do marketing instead, but that would have meant I would have had to do another year of study. So I was like, you know, I'll stick with accounting.
Just wanted to finish up your degree.
Still satisfy my parents, which I kind of did, kind of.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's so many people end up in this industry by accident because they just don't know that it exists as a career, but right. It's such a great area to work in because we get to, as you say, help so many students just find their way to have the time of their lives studying abroad. So, and otherwise also our paths wouldn't have crossed. So we're very happy that you made that decision to move from accounting over to higher ed and international ed. Maybe coming back though to Vancouver, a little bit. And I think you already said this in the beginning. Vancouver is often described as a welcoming and very diverse and multicultural city. How do you feel like the local community and culture contribute to the overall experience that international students have studying in Vancouver?
Yeah, so it's definitely very diverse. So my first impression when I landed was, typically the understanding is Canada is in general a very multicultural city, and Vancouver, Toronto being the key hubs are very ethnically diverse, and that is true. When I first landed, I was quite surprised at how diverse in general it is, and it's over the years it's only gotten that way. So there's a very large South Asian community, of course. There's a big East Asian community, and now growing Southeast Asian community as well. So we've got these vibrant cities where people from all walks of life, you meet them, you know, when you're walking down the street or at the mall or, you know, just even at a cafe in Vancouver, people from different backgrounds. And of course, because we are within the Americas, a lot of Latin American people are also here. So that makes it a very, nice and vibrant city. And, you know, one of the things that kind of encapsulates that is every month there is a celebration of some form of ethnic holiday, essentially. It's not an official holiday here, but just as an example, you know, in February, we have the Lunar New Year. So that's widely celebrated in the East Asian world. And that's we have a big Chinatown here. So there are lots of celebrations happening there. And then in March, we have the Persian New Year. So there are big celebrations there throughout the city. So it really opens your eyes to the different cultures that are around, and you really get to experience that. And I am personally a foodie. So the fact that I get to experience taste food from all over the world, good food, good tasting food is a testament. So some really good for South Asian cuisines, but also East Asian cuisines, and some really good restaurants. And I always encourage students to reach out to us. Most of them don't, but for some reason, I always feel like they should, you know, whenever they're trying to find good food options, rather than just going to Yelp or just doing a Google search, come and ask.
I'll go to Veer. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And see if they listen to this podcast. At least they will.
Yeah, maybe they will start.
Right? So if you listen to this right now and you're going to Vancouver and you study at KPU,
ask Veer.
Go hit up Veer and ask him for recommendations and blame him if you don't like them. Perfect.
Yeah. And just to add on to that, are there any sort of, you know, initiatives or programs at KPU that help, let's say, international students integrate into life in Vancouver or at KPU?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the things that we do is we have a peer mentorship program. So every student that comes through is always assigned a peer mentor. So basically, as part of that, they once they get admitted, closer to the start of the semester, their peer mentor is going to reach out to them, introduce themselves, and really be their initial friend as they come on campus. They also do a virtual meeting, you know, before they come so that you can put a face to the name. And that really seemed to help most of our students with feeling at ease on the first day. You know, if you're an international student coming from another country, it is quite, you can feel a little out of place just because you're really out of your comfort zone. And for many, there is no going back. It's not like you can just run back home to your mom and dad or your friend circle. So yeah, that's one program that we do. And even for visiting students who are only coming here for one semester, they're all assigned a peer mentor as well. So that has been helping quite a lot. And then in addition to that, we have a Kwantlen Student Association. They take care of events for all students, but within our international department, we also host events for students. So this funny thing happened a couple of semesters ago. One of our students really wanted to go visit Capilano Suspension Bridge, which is one of the attractions. Now, Capilano Suspension Bridge can be a bit expensive. It's the prices have only gone up over the years. But and she ended up visiting it within the first month. And the thing is, in the third month of the semester, we were actually going to take all of our students out to Capilano Suspension Bridge at a much subsidized rate. So just to give you an example, costs currently about $80 to go to the Capilano Suspension Bridge. But we were only asking students to pay $10. So she would have saved $70 and used that use that money for probably food recommendations from Veer, but instead she just paid it all to capital out of this adventure bridge just to see that. So yeah, that's one of the things that we always encourage students: reach out to us, we always send students a list, but it's not surprising many of them don't read their emails. That's okay. I don't read most of mine, so I would highly encourage students when they come on campus, just reach out to our international department, get an idea of what events are going to happen, and throughout the semester, really, really helps meet other students and make friends and also experience all these touristy attractions at a much reasonable price.
So another pro tip, read Veer's emails. Reach out to Veer before you spend money. Ask for a discount.
Just name this podcast Ask Veer.
Ask Veer. And I feel like it's not just about the discounts, but as you pointed out, same with the Yelp debate sort of, right? You guys know what they would probably like to see, so they don't have to go on the internet and, see, what are tourist traps and what are not, so they can reach out to you and you'll show them what places are worth visiting.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And for if you're coming short term, your time is quite limited. So you want to maximize your time essentially. So definitely ask someone who's been here a while. And again, it goes back to the friendly aspect of your, especially at the international team, we're very happy to help, students whenever they come with questions. And and of course, if all else fails, just ask Veer.
So we always say this is a service podcast. So
All right, then I think let's continue and dig a little deeper into KPU. Veer, you mentioned in the beginning, KPU stands for Kwantlen Polytechnic University. It is Canada's only polytechnic university. Can you explain to our listeners what polytechnic stands for and what it is?
Sure. So, we like to joke that we are the best polytechnic university in Canada because we are the only polytechnic university in Canada. One of the things that makes Polytechnic unique, and in general what Polytechnic means, is hands-on learning. So all of our programs have work integrated component with it. So students cannot essentially escape graduating from a program without some form of experiential learning. And the same goes for short-term students as well. So what I mean is 80% of our courses are work integrated. So KPU is a teaching university. We're a university that teaches but also does research. We're not a research-focused institution. So as a result of that, it allows us greater flexibility to add more experiential learning in our programming. So experiential learning ranges all the way from internships in co-op to field schools that happen, especially within our arts programs, and to tons of group work, working on case studies, tons of presentations. So just to give you an idea, especially in the second year onwards, most of the students are going to be doing presentations at least 3 times per course. And they're always going to be doing a lot of group work. There isn't as much individual work. One of my instructors told me all these years ago, the reason why students come to university is to learn the soft skills, not as much as hard skills, because that's something, for most jobs at least, that can be taught on the job. And that I think really rings true where with the way KPU approaches things, very hands-on, very much focusing on your soft skills, a lot of presentation-based, because again, at the end of the day, that's what the job market desires these days. And for students who are coming here for a short period of time, it's really nice because it, especially if English is not your first language, or maybe you're trying to look for ways to speak in English a lot more, this is a great way to come and really push yourself and really work with other students. Presenting quite a lot really helps shape a lot of your personality. So when I started my program at KPU, I thought accounting is not going to be as much presentation based. I don't know what gave me that idea. But in my second year onwards, really, I could not get through a class without doing at least 2 to 3 presentations. So it's and it really helps build that confidence in most of our students. So I think that experiential kind of learning and the fact that we hire instructors, we don't hire professors. So all of our instructors have been in the field for at least 10 to 15 years. So they've got really good experience. And many of our students do find that quite valuable. So just as an example, in many of my accounting courses in the third, fourth year, it was the students who were doing really well who got recommended by the instructors for jobs, because now that I am on the other side of it and I'm trying to, you know, find people who good people to work with for our team, you really want to reach out to people who are now teaching the next generation and really reach out to them and see who is the best talent rather than just reactively waiting for the best talent to apply to you, to your job. So that's, all in all, that's what makes KPU quite unique. It's just that community feeling and the fact that we focus extensively on experiential learning in our courses.
So maybe Elias, before you move on to the next question, I just wanted to briefly say something about what you just mentioned in terms of being a very teaching focused university, having instructors rather than professors. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of the reasons why KPU is not ranked as highly as some of the other universities, because rankings often do not reflect teaching quality, but they are very, very research focused. It's about citations, right. It's about scientific reviews and these kinds of things. So I just wanted to clarify that, because you mentioned twice, like you didn't go to a highly ranked university, and I don't want students to get the impression that KPU is not a good school. I think it's a really, really good school in terms of teaching and in terms of student experience. But if you look at kind of the ranking criteria, that's what you mean, I believe, when you compare KPU to other schools in Vancouver, right? Maybe you want to just address that real quick so that students get the right impression.
That's definitely one of the reasons why. So when you're looking at ranking institutions, they all tend to be dominated by research institutions. Just because the way the ranking system works, it does require a lot more just the criteria, the weightage on research is placed quite highly. And if you're, of course, looking for a research program, then it makes sense to look at that. But if you're really in the field of business, one of the best things that you're really looking for is not necessarily the highly ranked schools. Of course, I'm not saying they don't have much to offer, but really looking at people who have industry experience so that they can give you a more real life situation of how things are done. There's nothing worse than sitting through a course that's fully theoretical. Right. So really getting an idea of what real business actually entails, what really happens in accounting, marketing, HR. You know, these are very dynamic fields that have changed significantly just over the last decade, let alone 2 or 3 decades ago. So, and they're always ever changing with new technologies coming in. So you really want institutions to be on top of that. And I'm very happy to say that as a teaching institution, that is one of the focuses that our instructors place.
And I think, again, this is very comparable to what we have in Germany with the traditional kind of old universities and our universities of applied sciences, which you probably don't find in the international rankings either. But they have a very, very strong reputation when it comes to educating students that are kind of work ready and career ready when they graduate, right, because they have been taught by practitioners and by people who actually have practical experience in the area in which they teach, instead of having gone through kind of the academic route of being basically at university for their entire lives. So it's just a different approach. And it depends on also where students are in Germany, what kind of experience they're looking for. But for study abroad, I think a teaching-focused university can sometimes even be a better choice than a purely or mainly research focused university, unless students are maybe already in their master's, where it might make sense to then again look at the more research focused institutions. So Elias, I didn't want to kind of hijack your section, but I just thought it would be important to just clarify that.
No worries at all. No, because I want to point that out as well. Well, at least I wanted to second what you just said, Veer, about also the, you know, the approach to learning, about the soft skills, that it's really, really important that at some stage these kind of things are being taught. And I think it's really, valuable for students to get that kind of education. And I don't know if you just mentioned business. Can you talk a little bit more about certain, you know, or specific programs that KPU offers that are or should be of interest to international students, let's say coming for a semester or two?
Sure. So I mentioned business because that tends to be definitely an outlier in terms of, not an outlier, but most popular faculty where students go. But I'm happy to say we are going to welcome she's not technically a first student, but it's been a while since we've had one. But she's going to be coming to our product design program. She's from Germany, and she's going to be doing one semester, just of product design courses. She's doing a program already in Germany, and we got some of her courses approved for the third year, which is very exciting. So, which leads me into, there are basically all the programs except for nursing are open to visiting or study abroad students. So we can essentially, as long as, you know, they've completed the right courses, we can even get them approved for higher level courses. It just doesn't have to be first and second year. Another cool thing is at KPU, students typically take 3 to 4 courses, and most of our study abroad students have noticed only take 3, which is great because that really allows for a study life balance. So students are not having to spend a lot of time in classroom. They can actually go out and work on their assignments and also enjoy life while they're here. So yeah, coming back to the programming, business is the most popular, but we've got design, we've got entertainment arts. So we've got programs such as 3D animation, game development, and then VFX, where we've been really trying to get more students who are in these fields across the world to come. And you know, one of the coolest things is, which I recently learned, two of our instructors who teach the VFX program have actually worked on the Mandalorian and the Game of Thrones series. So that again speaks to the experiential and the fact that our instructors do have that real life experience and have worked on blockbusters mm-hmm. that really again lends them or lends students into being in a position where they can learn from people who've actually done things in the industry. So entertainment arts, and then science and horticulture programs is another thing where we have students coming in every now and then. For example, we have a brewery program. So students learn how to make beer, and that's a very, very cool program. We also sell those beers every Friday on our Langley campus, which is again very exciting. So students actually get to the beer that they get, they are not just getting experience about how you make the beer, but also
how you drink it.
How do you sell it? How do you market it to the community? So, I mean, beer as a product in general is I feel like fairly easy to market.
All right. You just mentioned the Langley campus, and I think you mentioned in the beginning as well that KPU has 5 different campuses. Can you describe where they are located? And for instance, where do visiting students typically take their courses at?
Sure. So yeah, we've got 5 campuses. One is in the closest from downtown Vancouver is Richmond, which is 15 minutes by public transportation. The second is Surrey, which is about 40 minutes by public transportation. Mm-hmm. And in Surrey in itself, we have 3 campuses. One is our Surrey main campus, where which is where most of our visiting students typically take courses. And then we have one for postgraduate studies, which, you know, of course doesn't apply to most of our students. Then we have one in Cloverdale, which is again part of, it's a township part of Surrey, but for some reason people tend to think, at least from people from Cloverdale, they're too cool. They have a city of themselves, but that's not the case. They still fall in Surrey. And, you know, once students come here, they'll get the reference that I'm making. And the fifth campus is in Langley, which is the farthest. So that's an hour and 15 minutes by public transportation. So most of our students would take courses either in Surrey, our main campus, or in Richmond. And for the most part, business courses are, I'd say, offered in like 65-35 proportion. So 65% of the courses will be offered in Surrey and 35 in Richmond. So students get that choice, essentially. So, you know, we've had students who've wanted to stay near the campus, so they're okay with being away from the downtown and being in Surrey. But again, because the public transportation system in Metro Vancouver is quite good, it's easy to get around even if you don't have a car.
Mm-hmm. So does that sometimes happen that students would take, you know, different courses at, you know, different campuses throughout the semester, or would they typically just stay at one campus and take all of their courses there?
Yeah, most of them prefer to take all the courses in one campus, but it can certainly happen where you have two courses that's in Surrey and one in Richmond. You can certainly do it that way. One of the things is, just like new students, visiting students always get an early registration date and time. So as a result of that, they have all the options at their disposal. So they can choose, you know, the timing that they want. So our courses run from 7 a.m. in the morning, which to a guy like me is a torture because I don't like early morning classes. They run all the way to 10 p.m. So gives them a plethora of options to choose from. And they can take them either in either of the campuses. So you can either mix and match or just take courses at one campus.
Mm. Got it.
So you just mentioned courses run kind of all throughout the day and students can mix and match. How and when do visiting students, so students coming for just one semester, how do they choose their courses and how do you assist them with that process? Because that's always like a big, big challenge for students. They want to make sure they can take courses that they are interested in and that they can transfer back to their home degree. How does it work at KPU?
Yeah.
And how can you help? Like, I mean, ask Veer. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So now I have to prove myself. Damn. So one of the things that we do is as we get closer to registration, and actually we are going to be doing that for the incoming fall students in the next week, because our registration starts on the 10th of July. So yeah, we send out an email, comprehensive email, walking them through the process of how they register for courses. And then on top of that, we also have a webinar. So students can join that webinar if they're having any trouble. But of course, you know, if they're not able to find any resources online, which is quite hard, but if they can't, we are in constant communication with our students. And again, the emphasis is that they should always take advantage of the fact that they have early registration date and time. After the third day of registration, classes really start getting full, because typically the continuing students have their registration dates and time based on their GPA. So definitely take advantage of the first day that you can register for classes. Yeah, all the registration is done online. It's actually quite straightforward, just picking courses. Now, one of the things that we can help students with is course outlines. So if students want to get the course outlines, get their home institution to evaluate the course and see if it's going to transfer, we are more than happy to provide that. And as a matter of fact, we do provide that to many of our students, especially the ones who are going for third and fourth year courses, because those tend to be quite niche. So we can provide those to really help them with the process of transferring back. And then once they've completed the semester, they can request an official transcript. And for example, it happened last semester where the student was leaving before the transcript was ready for pickup. And in that case, again, our team is more than happy to mail it to the student's address.
And I mean, if you say registration starts July 10th, say July 10th, the semester doesn't start until early September. So that is really early. And I think that is perfect because a lot of our students are worried whether they will get into the courses that they need and want. And what sometimes proves to be a bit challenging is in the beginning of the semester, early September is usually when classes are not in session in Germany. And it's sometimes harder to get hold of professors and teachers and the registrar's office to maybe double check whether certain courses can be accepted or not. So if students can get all of that out of the way, right now they still have access to their professors. They can still talk to people on their home campus. So if a course they want to take is not available, they still have the option of kind of making changes without struggling and having to do that from Canada. So I think this is a real advantage to be able to select the courses so early. So that's really good. And as you said, you're providing help there as well. Speaking of help, what support does KPU provide to visiting students in terms of not only academic advising, but also maybe like mentoring and tutoring and just helping them navigate a new environment that is KPU?
Sure. So yeah, one of the things that I alluded to earlier is the peer mentorship program. So once they are admitted, once they are registered in courses, they will be assigned someone, a peer mentor. And in many cases, that peer mentor is typically a student who's already done an exchange abroad. So for example, last semester, we sent about, I think, 19 students from KPU who went to study abroad and different for exchanges in different parts of the world. So we unfortunately don't have as generous a scholarship for students to study abroad, which is why at times you don't see as much Canadian mobility, but it's really starting to pick up, which is good. So more and more students are starting to look into it as an option. And that's another good value that incoming visiting students add, because they really encourage many of our students to finally go out and study abroad. So peer mentorship is one. So they always have a friend. The first day is the orientation. So we make them part of the general orientation with domestic and international students. But we also do a separate one for inbound students. So exchange and visiting students. So they get to meet others who are only here for a short period of time, which really helps, because many a times, I always encourage them to take road trips out to the Rockies, really beautiful drive, or even to the island, to Vancouver Island, and renting a car with two or three or four more folks is much more economical than just renting it by yourself or just another person. So that really allows them an opportunity to mingle and talk to other people. So we play a lot of ice breaking activities to really get them to connect with others. And now once they're here, in case they're struggling with a course, they do have tutoring services available. They have support 24/7 with our learning center, which is again, students who are doing really well in their course typically teach and kind of help other students. Another benefit is that our classes are 35, and in most cases, especially for higher levels, it's even smaller. So as a result of that, the professors are very friendly. Like, I've found that through my experience, especially in the third, fourth year, the professors or the instructors are very, very happy to go out of their way to help any student who might be struggling, or to really provide feedback and advice. So that really helps. So yeah, it all just comes down to if a student is having any trouble, they should always reach out, and they'll honestly be surprised how willing and helpful people can be. And then finally, events. So we put out a lot of events throughout the semester for students, both domestic, international, and visiting students. So they should just be on the lookout in their emails, or if they're ever confused, just come talk to us at the international office and participate in those. Because again, going back to the Capilano suspension bridge example, you know, you can save a good bit of money if you're just aware of what events are going to be coming up.
When you look at the academic calendar in Canada, then you can see that there is one semester that fits very well. That's the semester starting in the beginning of September, ending shortly before Christmas. So that's the fall or autumn semester. And then the next semester is often a bit challenging for our students because it begins in early January. It lasts until the end of April. Whereas in Germany, the academic calendar is slightly different so that students often still have classes in January and exams sometimes all the way into February. And then the next semester already starts sometime in April. So it's not a really good fit. So that means that most of the students that we send to Canada will go in the fall, in our fall. But there is one thing at KPU that is quite unique, which is that you have a May intake that is open to visiting students as well. I think there are other universities having a May intake or summer sessions or summer schools, but at KPU, I understand it's like a full semester. And it starts in early May and it goes on until like mid to late August, which actually fits really well with our academic calendar because it fits with our spring or summer semester. But I also think it's one of the greatest times to be in Vancouver because you're basically in Vancouver all of summer, which might not be kind of your favorite time of the year because it gets too warm. But for many people here from Germany, they actually enjoy that kind of weather. So can you just talk about that a little bit? Like how does that semester differ maybe from other semesters? And would you recommend it to international students to come and spend the summer in Vancouver despite the good weather?
Yeah, so in for the summer semester, most of our courses are offered, which is good. So most of our business, science, design being the only exception is not offered, but entertainment arts, fine arts, all the courses are offered in summer. So as a result of that, it is, like you said, it's like literally a full semester. So students do still get that same option. And on top of that, the weather is a lot forgiving, at least for many. So, as you know, you can go on tons of hikes. Vancouver is known as the outdoors, the great outdoorsy place. You know, there's so much to do in terms of different hiking trails, going on, experiencing if you're into more adventurous stuff, mountain biking. And even if you're not into hiking, there are tons and tons of trails that you can go explore. So while you can do those things in winter with the right gear, in the summer, it's a lot more fun when the sun's out and, you know, you're really looking for a respite to go into the mountains and enjoy the forests. So yeah, there are a lot more activities definitely to do when the weather gets well. So summer is a great time for students to come, especially the early, the May and June, really, really wonderful time. July, we do tend to see some forest fires, like I do want to be real, because we have such dense forests in British Columbia, it's not uncommon to have forest fires that happen towards the end of July. And at that point, just depending on the intensity year by year, it varies. But it could, it can get a bit hazy at times. But the first 3 months of the summer are just beautiful.
Okay, cool. And then maybe final question about the visiting student program as such. Where can students live? You already mentioned that because you're based in kind of suburbia, it's a little cheaper to live than in downtown Vancouver. But do you have on-campus housing or do you offer support for students who want to live off campus? How does it work?
Yeah, so we don't have any on-campus housing, unfortunately, but we do have homestay options as one. So students can live with another family for a period of 4 months while they're here. And many students choose to do that. But we also have some private accommodation providers like GEC. We work with very closely, which is a student accommodation essentially building. They have many properties around Metro Vancouver region. So many students prefer to stay there where they're going to be staying with students from other institutions. Or they can be adventurous and stay in a private accommodation if they want. So that option is also available. So we see every semester students doing a mixture of the three. And also on housing, I do want to kind of touch on the fact that the housing is definitely going to be cheaper if you stay in Richmond or in Surrey. as compared to staying in Vancouver. But many students do still want to stay in Vancouver, and that's totally fine. And my only advice would be just make sure you're aware of the fact that Richmond is the closest campus. So try to book most of your, register for most of your courses in Richmond. And even if it's Surrey, you do need to be cognizant of the fact that it might take up to 45 to 50 minutes to get to campus. So that's something that you should be aware of. Now, just because we are on that, speaking about this, I do want to mention all of our classes are 3 hours per week. So as a result of that, if you take 3 courses, you're going to be in class 9 hours every week. And then, of course, outside of that, you'll be given a lot of assignments throughout the semester. So you'll still be, you know, in the library hanging out. But that does allow for a lot more flexibility to do other things while you're here.
All right, then let's close it out perhaps with another campus question. And I was just wondering, are there any sort of, you know, traditions on campus or in Vancouver that visiting students can look forward to participating while they're studying at KPU?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, throughout the year, and I touched on this a little bit initially, but I'm happy to elaborate that Vancouver is a very multicultural city. So as a result of that, throughout the year, especially in the Metro Vancouver area, you'll see a lot of festivals happening. You know, so just in the past few months, we've gone from a big celebration of Lunar New Year to a big celebration in March of the Persian New Year and a bunch of other celebrations that keep coming up. And in April, we had a big celebration of Vaisakhi, where we had the North Indian celebration, where we had about a little over 700,000 people who attended over the span of 2 days. A great festival, free food. That's a great, you know, that's, of course, an attraction for many. And yeah, so you get to experience a lot of different cultures while you're here. And then, of course, on top of that, there's plenty of food festivals that happen. Summer, again, another benefit of the summer is the fact that there are many music festivals that go on and happen in Vancouver. So that's something for students to look forward to. But in general, it's just all about the outdoors. There's so many activities to do outdoors, and we do encourage students to go out, take trips to the Rockies, to Vancouver Island, to Whistler and beyond, where they can really get a better feel of the place and get, you know, often and be so close to nature, really enjoy that activities. And on campus, throughout the semester, again, we host a lot of events. But if students are really looking at getting involved, I really encourage them to join a club. Great way to make friends initially, just because at times, although Canadians are very friendly, I feel in personally, but I do find that when you're coming to a new country, one of the best ways you can actually make friends is finding people who have common interests, and clubs really, really make that easier, that transition quite smooth.
All right. Yeah, speaking of transitions, I think we're transitioning into the last part of our podcast.
Ooh, what a segue.
Which is this or that questions. I think, you know, Veer, we ask you a bunch of questions that are either this or that, and we want you to answer spontaneously. Mm. Maybe provide a little bit of context as to why you chose answer A or answer B. So yeah, let's go ahead and do that. So we're starting off with a foodie question.
Ooh, okay.
I think you might like that one.
So, yeah. Well, I'm already salivating. Yeah.
All right. Japanese style hot dog or poutine?
Poutine. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of hot dogs. We have, you know, the funny story is right when you get outside the Vancouver International Airport, when you come outside the terminal, there's a big Japa dog, you know, stall, which, again, if you're into hot dogs, definitely it's a go while you're here. It's definitely a touristy thing to do. But yeah, for me, poutine, I just love a little bit of gravy on those fries. I'm not a big fan of crispy. It just, I feel like I'm going to have that today.
All right. Yeah, that's so. That was a very, very clear answer.
I love Japa dog. I think it's fantastic. Never had I'm not it. A big fan of regular hot dogs, but I love that one. It's really cool. I had it at a food truck in downtown Vancouver the first time, and it was really good. Long lines, so we were like, okay, that must be special. So let's see. But it was really good.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move along then. So ice skating at Robson Square or beach volleyball at Kitsilano Beach?
That's easy. He doesn't like beaches.
The beach you never go to.
You must be ice skating.
Well, the thing is, I am terrible at ice skating. I have tried. I keep on struggling. I've gotten better at skiing, and I thought it would translate into ice skating, but it did not. but I would prefer in the ice skating any day over.
So you don't like beach, you don't like sand either.
I don't. I just hate when it gets into my shoes or just gets into my nails.
No, I'm with you with talking about the ocean, because I don't like to go into the ocean, which some people find weird, but yeah.
Yeah,
I'm still a beach fan, so.
Maybe I can convert you over time. You know? tip on that, while we're on that note, just quickly is if students are here, they're looking for a quieter beach to go to. Spanish Banks is the way to go, and then you can actually walk 15 minutes and go to Jericho Beach, which is a beach full of rabbits. I have no idea who put them there, but they seem to be, it seemed to be Wild West over there, because there are tons and tons and tons of rabbits. So that is something to check out while you're there.
Dig their holes there.
All right. And I feel like, so the next question, I feel like is also a very, you know, student related question. So Granville street nightlife or Gastown ambience?
Gastown, yeah. Again, not a big nightclub fan. So I very exciting person. Am I allowed? That's yeah. So I love the atmosphere in Gastown. Some of the cafes there. If students are there, check out Kitsune Cafe. It's a fusion of Japanese and French patisserie. Really, really good. And then also go to Taco Fino. Amazing, amazing tacos. Ambience of Gastown is hard to beat.
Like Granville Street, how about Granville Island? Do you recommend students to go there?
Yes, definitely. Granville Island is amazing. Really good craft beer, seafood, and just, again, very good vibe. It's again one of those places that students should visit for sure.
But that's like a Saturday morning thing, right? It's like you go there a Saturday morning, go to the indoor market, and then sit outside with all the things you bought and eat and drink and maybe have your first craft beer.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a good point to mention, that the Granville Island typically closes around like 5-6 o'clock most days. So after that, it's a good picturesque place, but it really dies down after that. So you should, if you're going, go in the morning. It's really hustle bustle, and it's a lot of fun to be around that area.
Cool. All right. So next one, and I'm really curious what your answer is going to be, because I found this one to be a really tough one. So best weekend getaway, ferry to Vancouver Island or a skiing trip to Whistler?
Depends on the time of year, probably.
And also, so skiing, if you're here for a short period of time, I can totally get why you want to go to Whistler, but it's very busy when people are trying, because there's so many people trying to go there. So I know colleagues who they start their commute from Vancouver to Whistler at 4 o'clock to beat the traffic. So yeah, if I get the option, I would choose going to the island. It's very serene, very peaceful. It's definitely a nice getaway. Again, not a place for me, because another thing with doing a trip to the island is if you plan well, you can actually do a day trip. So you don't have to necessarily stay there. And this is a tip for students. If they're going to Victoria, to Nanaimo, maybe not Tofino. Tofino, by the way, is the surf capital of Canada. So if surfing excites you in cold water, then that is the place to go. but it's got really good beaches. But if you're trying to go to the island, you want to do a day trip, you could certainly do that, as long as you're planning meticulously. But yeah, going back to the question, I would say going to the island over going skiing.
All right. And then our last question is coming up. Vancouver Canucks game at Rogers Arena or a concert at BC Place?
It's funny that's the last question because that is the toughest. I am not a big fan of crowds. So I'd say Canucks. I'd say Canucks. If you're a fan of Canucks, it's not the easiest life for you because they're not the best team out there. But I would choose that over a concert. But again, when students are here, they should definitely check out a Canucks game. It's fun. The atmosphere is fun.
All right. Cool. I think, yeah, that's it. Thank you, Veer, for all your answers and for doing this. It was great to have you on. We really appreciate your time. And yeah, hope you enjoyed it a little bit as well.
Thank you. Well, thanks for having me on. We've got a great working relationship, but the fact that, we could do this on a long format for students who might be considering KPU, just for them to get a better idea of what kind of place Vancouver is. Thanks for letting me do this, and can't believe we've gone over an hour.
It's full of good tips and ideas. Yeah. And so if there's one thing students can take away from this is when in doubt, ask Veer.
For sure. All right, thank you so much. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks so much.
Also, was haben wir heute gelernt?
Dass Veer die perfekte Auskunftsquelle für unsere Studierenden an der KPU ist und sie richtig Geld sparen können, wenn sie seine E-Mails lesen?
Ja, das auch. Aber eigentlich meinte ich, dass Vancouver eine richtig tolle Stadt fürs Auslandssemester ist und die KPU eine sehr gute Option für Studierende, die nicht nur die theoretischen Grundlagen lernen wollen, sondern auch Lust auf richtig viel Praxisbezug haben.
Stimmt. Ehrlich gesagt finde ich das auch total spannend, weil dieser Praxisbezug einem natürlich nochmal ganz andere Einblicke in die Kultur und auch das Arbeitsleben in Kanada gibt, als einfach nur im Vorlesungsraum zu hocken.
Absolut, sehe ich auch so.
Also, wenn ihr jetzt Lust auf ein Auslandssemester in Vancouver bekommen habt, dann werft doch am besten gleich mal einen Blick in unsere Shownotes zu dieser Folge. Dort findet ihr einen Link zum Hochschulprofil der KPU und zu den Erfahrungsberichten ehemaliger Visiting Students.
Außerdem findet ihr in den Shownotes wie immer auch unsere Kontaktdaten. Ruft uns an oder schreibt uns, wenn ihr Fragen zur KPU habt oder euch ganz allgemein über die Möglichkeiten eines Auslandssemesters an unseren Partnerhochschulen informieren möchtet. Wir schicken euch dann gern unsere ausführliche Bewerbungsanleitung zur KPU mit vielen Infos und Tipps zur Bewerbung. Die Anleitung ist natürlich kostenlos, genau wie unser gesamter Beratungs- und Bewerbungsservice, da wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden.
In der nächsten Folge reisen wir wieder einmal nach Down Under, und zwar nach Melbourne. Bis dahin sagen wir vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, genießt den Sommer und habt eine gute Zeit.